so.
No.
Why?
I'm just curious.
I like your glasses.
Aren't they the best?
They look good.
These are ancient.
Tom, are those one these. Tom got you?
Tom got these for me for Christmas.
Hello?
Tom got these for me for Christmas like 7 or 8 years ago. And they weren't in.
They look good on you.
But I wore them then, and I thought, oh, this is funny. And then now they're kind of all the NBA players. Now all the NBA players are wearing them. So.
See what you did? You started a trend. I hate
that's
when that
right.
happens.
Mm-hmm. It all started right here with.
Because I know I'm fabulous, but everybody else, you know, comment at that. It's just a little embarrassing.
You know, you pick it up when you pick it up, and then you it's up to you guys. I don't.
Oh, nice broken-in headphones.
Mm-hmm.
We're cozy.
Okay.
Yeah, and these are fairly new, so.
Those are kind of new.
Yeah.
This is what I use.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, no, these are new. Yours are not new.
Mine look a little. I like it. I like it worn.
You've got the new ones on?
I have new ones on.
Did you girls meet?
I have ones
we
with.
Did.
Yes, we did.
You're so pretty. You're even prettier. I always see your pictures and go, oh my God, she's so pretty.
Oh.
Hey, you look even better. I'm
so
hanging
nice.
With the beautiful people.
I keep
so
trying
nice.
To tell
it's
her
Friday.
This, and she won't listen to me.
Let's do this.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick McGee. That is Jess. Say hello, Jess.
Hello.
This, of course, is Bob Schneider. Yeah, I've got his phone number. Thank you, thanks for downloading the podcast. Our guest today is it's one of our longtime goals to have this person on our podcast. Isn't that right? Didn't we say that? How long ago did we say, yeah, we should get her on the podcast?
I think when we started the podcast.
Way back in the 30s when we started the podcast, we said...
Way back in 13.
Isn't it funny? I was telling her, don't you recognize her giggle when she starts?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's obnoxious.
It's absolutely.
It's not obnoxious.
Lady. I was hanging out before the Ryan Adams show last night.
Right.
And
were you spying on her and she didn't know?
Were
it?
You there?
I was there.
Oh, I was hoping I'd run into you, but I was I was like, well, I'm at a Ryan Adams show, so everyone will know when I say, because I'm pretty sure the only place you can listen to Ryan Adams is on TTS.
Yeah, we were just having that conversation.
Yeah.
That's pretty sure, yes. Yeah.
And so I was just like, hey, everybody, guess who's on my podcast tomorrow? Yeah.
They wouldn't have known.
Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Everybody was so jazzed. Hey, yeah.
Everybody, it's Laura Duncan. She does afternoons on WTTS here in Indianapolis. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
That this
you,
is
thank
the
you.
Only person, I'm going to guess, well, probably the only person that I have now met that knows more about music than you do.
Well, no,
I know a lot about, watch this, Laura. I know a lot about shitty music. Yeah, yeah,
that's
a lot
not
of shitty
subjective,
music.
Subjective, Chick. It's all subjective.
I know good music too. I'd like to think that I have good taste in music, but because I've done oldies, I've done what we used to call album rock, but I guess you now call adult alternative.
Yes, alternative. I worked album rock. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know, and I have my favorites. And then Jess will be familiar with this theory. If I really love something, I just immerse myself in it. And,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I just become.
No, Laura, you know what? It's not. It's
I don't
not
so much.
She might say obsess, but I say immerse. It's more of a healthy.
That is a nicer word.
It is.
It is. It is.
I've been practicing.
That's
all,
good.
All day. Yeah, so I've been listening to. I don't know when the first time we actually sort of made contact. I'm not sure how, but I got to you and said, I enjoy you listening in the afternoon, and you sent me a very nice, it must have been Twitter.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
You sent back and said, yeah, well, I've enjoyed you for years, which was kind of an insult.
No.
And, no, I'm kidding, of course. No, but I like the third degree, and I like everything you do in the afternoon. And I don't know who the guy, or I think it was a guy who did afternoons before you, but I remember when you were first on.
Brad Holtz actually did afternoons before me. We switched.
That's not possible. Brad's not still in radio, is he? That guy?
I don't think he is either. I don't know. I'll have to check.
I think it's time for my Brad Holtz story.
Yes, please. You were teasing me with this earlier.
Jess never gets tired of this story.
No, it's only the fifth time we've heard it.
I'm not gonna say how old Brad is, but when he was 14.
Do you think he's my age?
I know how old he is, and I'll tell you later. I tell Brad all the time, I'm pretty sure I was drunk the day you were born. I'm pretty sure about that.
Well, I was at a Lowe's doing an appearance for Q95 in the afternoon, and little Brad Holtz came up to me when he was 14, wanted an autographed picture, and he's telling me this. I was doing a comedy show in Bloomington, and I don't know why, but I assume you guys are there. But sometimes you're here, and sometimes you're, I don't know. Anyway, so we agreed to have dinner, and you were supposed to come, and you gave us the Heisman. You said, no, I'm not coming, or something.
Something came up,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm squinting when he's saying this, because normally these stories end with, and you were very mean to me and awful, and you made me cry, and my mom had to take me home. But he said... He wanted to thank me for being so nice to him, and
thank Christ.
This story is him meeting me is kind of why he's in radio, and I was.
It's true, because I've heard that story. You know, little young Brad Holtz had a radio station in his basement, and he would broadcast to his mom. They had speakers all over the house.
Aww.
He would broadcast to his mother up in the. Now I'm not sure I'm supposed to be telling this.
No,
but it's
I
cute.
Love it.
I think it's fine.
And so the only thing he wanted to do was come out and see you. At a live broadcast. So his mother bundled him up and took him out to see you. And he said you were very nice. And that is one of the reasons he's in radio. And he's a very bright radio person.
Thank God, because he could have been a refrigerator salesman if you'd have fucked up and been mean.
Oh, no.
He does that on the side. It's radio.
Yeah. Like I told him, I said, you have no idea how rare and wonderful that story is. Because if I'm in there anywhere, it depends on where I was in my life and how I thought of myself.
Right.
And oh, boy.
Yeah, it's frightening to think about. And do you
it
have
is.
The problem, too? I have a problem. Last night, people were coming up to me saying, oh, my God, Laura.
Yeah.
And I've decided this is what I say. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Because if I've met them, and I don't want to say nice to meet you again.
No.
Right.
And I don't
nice
know
to see you is good.
Nice to
that's
see
good.
You.
That's
that is good.
That's
it's
good.
That is good.
It takes care
nice
of everything.
Nice to see you. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And I've told this story before, too. Let's go over Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals.
Yeah, that's all. I think that that's a good reference. I think that that's just I know you say it a lot, but it's a really good reference for people who are like you guys in the radio industry.
Or
and
some sort of level of celebrity, I guess.
Yeah.
I
that would be you, chick.
I'm well, like, no, but you said you got... She said that there's nothing more unnerving or unsettling than another human being coming up to you with total recognition on their face. And
yes.
Going, hi! Mm-hmm. And you've never seen this person before in your life.
When I
heard her say that, I thought, oh, okay. Well, it's all right for me to be uncomfortable and nervous.
Yes.
When, remember that time?
Yeah, but
you,
the thing
blah,
is,
blah,
is
blah,
that
and I still
is
don't
chick
do it
is
very
horrible
well.
At masking it. Like as like you know, like as soon as you go, hey, chick, and then like halfway through the chick, the kid, they're like, chick,
oh god.
he's so uncomfortable right now.
Oh god.
And if they're
and
sober,
okay.
Yeah, and if they're sober, they're like, hey, chick, it's okay, I really like you. And if they're drunk, they're like, fuck, and just stupid stuff comes out of their face after that.
I feel like I need to have you along to tell people like that. I forget which comedian we had on, but he is a very good friend of Steve Martin's.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another comedian who got buddied up to him and goes, hey, man, I'd really like to meet Steve Martin. It must be. And the guy goes,
no, you don't.
No.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to meet Steve.
I heard that, too.
You don't want to meet Steve. You're not going to get what you want, is what he said.
Well, you know, another story. And gosh, Brad is going to kill me. Steve Martin played at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Oh, Bonnaroo
right.
Music Festival.
The
banjo.
Yeah.
Right. So we are back on the side of the stage, kind of out in an area. It's like a pasture because it's all in a pasture.
Right.
And Steve Martin is walking out of the porta potty, and Brad walks up to him, which I couldn't do because you know the hands.
Yeah,
Brad walks up to him and said, "Hey, can I shake you? Hi, Steve Martin." He assaulted the guy coming out of the bathroom,
right?
But he got to meet him,
yeah.
And that was all important. But I don't. I heard that too. That you got to be careful about
so
that.
So I feel bad sometimes.
No, love I feel art. Like I mean for the last I'm sure roughly let's just roughly round it up and say 10 years. For the last 10 years, it's been my responsibility to make sure that every person that comes in contact with Chick has a Brad Holtz moment. I really feel like
how's that going for you?
I think I'm doing I'm about 500. I'm gonna say 500.
I'm gonna go 750. I
think
you're doing a very good job.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier to tolerate now, Chick? Than it was maybe 10,
you know what
years
I
ago.
This podcast for me is very important for a lot of reasons, but one of the most important is that I've really like these are I don't know where these came from. I don't know how they were invented. I don't why people listen to them. I'm glad they do because we enjoy doing them, but it really does give you a chance to become your own psychiatrist almost and talk about your childhood and your fears and your hopes and your dreams and your failings.
And you know what? And the people that come up and generally, and I'm not saying, I don't want to stereotype here, but I'm just saying that our off-the-air fans tend to be much nicer than your general radio audience.
Well, that's because I think that in radio, you're going for more of a Cume audience. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Your podcast is selective. And if they
they're seeking us out.
So they're going to have that respect. And they should.
They want us.
I know.
They
that's
do.
So I feel like I'm kind of like spoiled in that way.
You are
like
very
I never
spoiled.
Had the radio
not had the radio experience.
No, I never had the radio experience. I just lucked out that Chick thinks I'm funny. And he's like, hey, come do this with
and
me.
And you guys have a great thing going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want
it. It sounds really good.
On a lot of levels. Unfortunately, fucking ever.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's forever. That's our rule. Yeah. No, but lately, well, I've done this for years, but lately I've gotten to a point that I can make it sound funny, but it helps me whenever somebody goes, hey, Chick, I go, get away from me.
Yes.
And that's the
the
old Archie Bunker thing when Edith would ever want to get away from me.
Yeah.
Go
away,
Edith, get away from me. And people
you're
think
James
it's funny.
You're James Gandolfini and you're...
And my Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker a lot alike.
Well, that's why I don't like going on stage. The other guys always do the stage announcements.
Yeah.
I want to sit anonymously in a chair. And once you do that and you come off, then people know who you are. But radio is anonymous. I mean, you can remain that way as long as you want to.
Right.
Well and I've been through... There.
And but I not think, for you. You're on a different level.
Yeah, and I think but Laura's doing what she has your job. That's what you. That's what
I've
you
always said
do.
That one
playing
of these days,
great music.
I'm going to get the barn in Monroe County, and
I will come over. And, we will have fun.
Do mornings. I'm not sure what Paul's going to do, but that's his problem. And I'm not worried about it. So yeah, because you guys play the music I listen to, and
well, it's a great. And I don't. Have you ever had? Have you always been an on-air personality? Have you ever had any of the managerial parts, the music
I've
director?
Been,
Oh, this is my favorite. This makes me giggle every time he says it. Ready?
I don't know why you think I'm a baby and a child, but
he
was
just like,
she does.
He'll go, I was a PD, and I'm like,
oh, you were.
You know, no, let me tell you something. We spend time together, not like we used to, but we spend time together, and she's been saying this a lot lately. What do you do when I'm not around?
Well, he just seems to be very lost.
Like I'm
sometimes.
Oh my! The car. How'd the car get in my garage? I don't know. Oh, that's my car. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, these
shit
things
like that.
And some
I
of these things
that.
Do happen.
And Chick, how does that make you feel when
it
she says
it? It makes me feel kind of like a big blanket being wrapped around me. But
we'll
my,
talk about that.
My point is, no, I was my first. I did. I graduated in June of 1976. Oh, Jesus. Baby. I was doing afternoons in West Virginia in October of 76, from noon to 6. That was the afternoon.
That's not bad. You got a job right away.
On on the AM, it was X-Rock 13,
nice.
WXEE in Welch, West Virginia, and I did afternoons there, and then I went to Williamson, and then where did I go after Williamson? Oh, I got fired in Williamson, and then I worked at a foundry for a year. Making Otis elevators, and then I went
How long did you actually work at Otis Elevator?
45 days.
45
enough
days.
Enough to.
Meet, ready? Ready?
Meet
ready?
My,
I thought it was a year.
Enough to meet the workman's compensation guidelines at the time. So when I got my toe broken during work, I got like $1,400, which was very exciting.
Wow. Especially in the 70s.
Yeah. And then I made a tape and went worked in Piqua, and I worked in Springfield, Dayton. They tried to make it Springfield, Dayton, and then here, Indianapolis.
Have you worked outside of Indy?
Yes.
You have. Where did you?
I worked in...
But you grew up here.
No. I grew up in Indiana, but I'm from Northwest Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So I grew
up
with Chicago radio.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I had a brief stint in Illinois, and then I kind of broke format on purpose and got myself tossed. Left before I was going to get myself tossed.
Ooh, gotcha.
The program director told me not to play a song. I played it on purpose. He wrote me up. I framed it, hung it on my wall, and he came to my house and saw it on the wall, which isn't the reason he fired me. We just didn't get along.
Right.
So what format was that?
It was a classic hits, which isn't my bag.
No. Yeah. So what'd you play? What'd you play? Do you remember?
I played Golden Country.
Really?
From REO Speedwagon. The reason I played it is because I couldn't understand why he didn't want me to play it.
Right.
I thought he was wrong and I was right. So
right.
And that's why I've been married for 25 years. My husband, ask him, he'll tell you the same thing. I haven't changed at all.
Well, you know, the famous story about Bob and Tom when they first started working is that they started doing what they're doing now at the radio station that we're working at in Michigan. And the general manager, owner, whoever, I'm pretty sure it was the owner, walked in one day and said, hey, we don't talk, we don't tell jokes, we don't laugh in the morning. We introduce records and read commercials and give the weather.
Isn't that funny?
And then he goes, for instance, oh, I think it was a lady now that I'm telling the story.
Oh, really?
It was a lady. Not that that changes the story. Well, it's tough to, for guys to work for a woman. My point is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, she goes, for instance, here's Jim Croce. It's a song called Time in the Bottle. Time in a Bottle. And speaking of time, it's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
No, she didn't know.
That's what she said.
She schooled him.
So Bob.
Right.
So plays Jim Croce, Time in a Bottle, like 10 times in a row in that way.
No way.
Speaking of Time in a Bottle.
That's perfect.
It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock, and here's Jim Croce again. So a friend of Bob's framed that for him, and he has it in his house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or I guess he still has it in his house.
That's funny.
I love it.
That's great.
And you know, when you hear people without the passion, with the people who get on and do that, here's this, that was, this is. What's the point of that?
I don't know. It's kind of heartbreaking.
Get out. There are some people that want it.
Yeah.
Really want it.
Huh.
I don't like it when people talk down to listeners.
I don't either.
What about, what do you feel about it?
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
You know, and there are specific areas of radio that that happens, and I'm not going to mention it because I have friends that work there in that format. But
And
you feel like you're out of the loop. When you tune in, you want to feel like you belong.
No, that's what I guess that's why it is. It's just, I guess
it's like a club, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's grown. I mean, I don't want to.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I feel like an asshole saying this, but I'm just going to say I grew up obviously listening to both of you. And
Oh, really? Oh, no, no. Her story isn't as heartbreaking as her story about you isn't as bad as the story. How old were you on the bus listening to me?
I was in second grade.
Second grade.
Yeah.
Second grade.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
A guy come up to me last night, and he was kind of off to the side, and I said something, and I'm okay as long as I don't laugh. When I laugh, I'm dead.
Right.
So, and he saw me, and he came over, and he was very nice, and he said, you got me through so many rough times.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's very nice to hear. I appreciate that. And he said, when I was on the school bus in fourth grade, I was having a bad day and I heard your voice.
Oh, there it was. There
Scotch.
It was.
There
it was.
Right here. Double, please. Thank you.
Well, so when did you start working at TTS then?
WTTS, it was 2002. So it's been
2002.
Isn't that funny when you said WTTS? It sounds like we're on
WTTS,
the radio.
I know. Because that's what I was saying. So in my brain, I'm like, okay. I was, you know.
2-3 WTTS.
I just ditched that.
No, so it was college.
When did you stop doing it?
Like a couple weeks ago.
Stop doing what?
The third degree.
Really? No more?
Why don't you
Are you
going to
replace it with something?
See, I didn't know what else to connect.
Let me tell you something.
It's been 7 years.
Yeah,
there
that's
were no
a lot.
More connections.
Let me tell you something. Whatever you want to do is fine with me because
I know
what
you
you're
anyway.
Feeling right now because I'll toss and turn and... We do this stupid thing in the morning where if Christy has a news story that has like WRTV6, I say, we're on your side. And I started saying it, I don't know, 10 years ago, and it's starting to drive me a little crazy. And I've tried.
Because now she pauses.
So she pauses
and waits for him to say it.
And let's face it, not that Christy isn't riveting, but if I'm daydreaming, then I'll get a or something like that. Okay, we're on your side. So then we started taking, well, let's do some new slogans, like where news comes first or something like that.
Right.
That's my job now, to find out the new slogan that'll catch on. And the other one is the rabbit thing I do in the first of the month because Gilda Rad used to do it, but for good luck.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sick and tired of that, too.
But you know, when do you figure out?
I don't know.
Are we sick of it, but everybody else loves it that's listening?
You know
or
what?
Is everybody
you
sick
know
of
what
it?
The fable of, you know what the axiom of radio is?
You're right.
When you get when you're getting sick of the song, mom's just learning the words.
Yep,
blah,
true.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. That is true.
But it's replaced with lyrically speaking, which you'll like. It's just me dramatically reading lyrics and you matching it to the song.
Ooh. I like that.
It's easier.
I might be able to I've never been able to finish a third degree, so
yeah, well, I haven't either, and I make those. You know, what's frightening is to, actually be putting those songs together and then realize on song two, there's no second connection. What was I thinking?
There's none.
I actually had Jane's Addiction and something from Lou Reed.
Lou's nickname was Perry. No, I don't.
Anyway, I pulled it out. It was a Cowboy Junkies song that Lou Reed, Sweet Jane.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And the Cowboy Junkies song was the connection, but I at the last minute said, "Oh God, Lou Reed's version is so much better." And I pulled it out and put Lou Reed in, and then the connection was gone. But the thing is, somebody called. You know, I don't know what I was thinking, but somebody called with a connection, and I said, "It makes no sense." But there you go.
There you go. Congratulations.
It's horrible. Blood runs cold.
That is a real tangible example of how we go crazy for the listeners.
It just makes sense that if you came in 02 and I'm thinking about what was going on in my life then.
Tell us what was going on.
I was in college and I stopped listening to shitty music. So that would explain.
Where did you go to college?
Ball State.
Okay.
Ball State. I don't know.
It's my favorite song. My favorite fight song.
It's a great one. Where our good friend Brad Holtz went to college.
He went to IU.
We're both IU kids. I thought he went to Ball State.
Nope. He's an IU grad.
Did Paul go to Ball State?
Paul, yeah, I don't know. He taught radio.
I think one of them went to Ball State.
Paul went to a mechanic school, right? Didn't he? Something like that. Learned how to fix the big trucks, didn't he? Paul used to do a little bit of everything. Didn't Paul used to work at IBC for the longest time?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought.
Mm-hmm. He did. He was a news guy. He does a great job with that, too. But
he's a good guy.
Laid-back music lover.
Yes, I'm sorry. Paul went to Ball State.
Paul Mendenhall went to Ball State.
Did you just find that out?
Yes. I did a little show prep.
Oh, my goodness.
This thing, this internet is frightening. You guys know this, right?
You said this thing pointed in my direction. I was like, are you talking about me?
This thing is frightening. Well, you are too.
Jess, and how does it make you feel when
it does?
I
know.
All right, let's start with you. What song, because I can remember the song that I went from, well, this is shitty music, to, oh, my God, this is what I'm supposed to be listening to. What was the song? The shitty song and then the great song you heard that went, oh, okay.
You know what? I had a girlfriend when I was in middle school, and I always felt like she was super cool. Her parents took me to the Pink Floyd concert at the Hoosier Dome, right? They took me to
the Big Circle show?
Yeah, the first time I ever smelled pot, and I was like, what is it? Something's on fire. And
something's on fire.
And then, really happy about it.
Yeah, I know, right? And then they took us to a Yes concert, which I think that I just thought it was cool, but
not
it was
my cup of tea.
Right,
that's like a 15-minute noodle on one song.
Yeah, it was. But I thought I was cool, you know, being 13 years old and at a
Yes
concert.
Absolutely, sure.
You were
13 when I was at the Pink Floyd concert at the Hoosier Dome.
I don't even know if I was 13 that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep talking. Yeah,
I don't know. She introduced me to the Doors. I feel like that it was in middle school that she introduced me to the Doors, and she also introduced me to, and I still love it. And I don't care who knows, Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack.
No, that's all right.
For middle school was that? Were those two albums? Bob Seger, where it looks like a senior picture on the cover.
Oh, Stranger in Town, maybe.
Yep, that one, and Bat Out of Hell. That's all I fucking listened to in middle school.
Let me see.
So what was shitty music? So what were you listening to?
No, that's what I was listening to.
Oh,
like,
that is the shitty music?
No. I liked that. That was,
well, what was
but
that
I was still, but I,
music?
But I was still listening to like in high school, like I liked Tub Thumping and I liked
Chumbawamba.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
you
Britney
get
Spears.
Down.
Like I still listen
you
to
get
pop.
Right back up.
Yeah. I listen to pop music by myself, but if somebody was around, then I had to make sure I had the cool music on display. Like, I didn't listen to pop music still.
But you liked it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Did you listen to pop music?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you?
I can plainly remember getting
like the Partridge Family and shit, probably.
Hey, it was the Partridge Family. And
so you're right. So what?
She's always right. I had a cassette recorder with the microphone, and when the Partridge Family, I think I love you. Mm-hmm. I had the record, and I would hold the mic up to the speaker of the TV and record it. And play it back. Really? It was Partridge Family, Bobby Sherman, Tommy Rowe, all that crap. And then my other love is movies, and I went to see the Woodstock movie. So I'm sitting there, not really, and I'm going, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
And The Who came on, and Pete Townsend did the windmill thing, and I went,
oh, so that's your moment.
Okay. Yeah, I get goosebumps thinking about it. I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be. Yeah.
See, I love this, that you guys have those moments that you remember. And
oh,
that you're
absolutely.
Such music fans.
Yeah.
It changes lives.
Oh,
I really
it does.
I'm crazy about music.
It does. It's I'm getting my son a record player for Christmas
Isn't
this year.
Isn't that great the way things go back?
Yeah. His sister has a a state-of-the-art karaoke machine that she's getting that she can put her little iPod in and listen to her music. And he's 11, and he's really, I mean, like, Journey. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
that's
Aerosmith.
His favorite band. Yeah. And that's when we, his first concert, he was 9, and we went to Journey. His sister was Taylor Swift. So that's what we're dealing with here. But that it's just, he's, it's, I don't know. I'm so excited to give the gift. Way more excited than he probably will be to receive it.
No, that's good, because you need to do. I mean, we have a responsibility. When my son was like 7, 8 years old, there was I don't know if you remember, it was on PBS and it was the History of Rock and Roll, and it lasted like a week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I would give him a quarter for each artist or song he could name that on there.
Yeah.
And he sat there and watched the whole thing, and he would, you know, throw out names, because I had, you know, tried to school him on the most obvious, the Stones, the Beatles, John Mellencamp, things like that.
Right.
He ended up with a couple of dollars, which is cool, but that's our responsibility.
I feel like it is kind of. Yeah.
That's what I keep thinking about those two, because they've had influences from everybody, like Journey, but also hip hop and
Taylor Swift, R&B.
Yeah.
And do you take them back to meet artists?
No. Well, actually, Max, my son, is he's really into comedy. So we usually visit, like, we'll go backstage, and he got to meet Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, that's nice.
And a bunch of our friends have
Of course, Gaffigan was just an asshole.
Was he? He's your friend, right?
He was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
He was wonderful.
One of my best friends,
you know what? I have a, and I don't know if it was from working for Bob and Tom or what, and I think it was before that, but I never had a desire to meet an artist that I loved. And
good
that's,
for you. Yes. Love the art, not the artist.
Yes, exactly. And that's, you know what? And that's the big thing with Ryan.
Why do I keep doing this?
Yeah, Ryan Adams. Like, I love him. And I was like, if I meet him, it will change my life. And I
don't
want to
meet him.
Yeah. I was afraid of that.
Well, it's a steep. You won't get what you want.
Yeah.
You won't.
No matter what he does. And I feel bad for Ryan. No matter what he fucking does, he's not going to meet your expectations.
But there's no reason. There's no reason that I should have to have this awkward encounter with him.
Exactly.
The kindest thing you can do for him is listen to his music and stay away from him.
You know, and that's the thing, too. I often stay back from that, because I think about the artist, and the last thing they want to do is shake my hand.
Right.
Getting ready to go on, or when they're off. Yeah. And it's the same thing we were talking about Dave Grohl.
Mm-hmm.
Love Dave Grohl.
Right.
I don't want to meet him.
Mm-mm.
He's up here.
Yeah.
And in the world where we can, where, you know, our jobs afford us the opportunity to reach out and touch artists, you have access to people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been asked about that.
Yeah.
And do you think you want to meet Dave Grohl? No, I don't.
Mm-mm.
I don't. Just
but
let
you
him
know
stay
what?
Where he is.
The people that do come,
that do want to meet Dave Grohl.
The people that, I mean, even the people that still come up to me and be like, "Do you think you can introduce me to Chick?" And I'm just like, no.
But do they think that Chick is going to meet them and they're going to be best friends? I don't
know. No, there are
people.
No, yes, oh yes, there are people that think that. But it's the people who actually have the gall to ask you that. Like, though, I don't want to be that person, because I know the kind of person who asks, can you introduce me to Bob and Tom? Can you introduce me to Chick and Christy? And I'm like, no. You're the guy that came.
She's good. You should keep her. She has your back.
Laura?
Completely
I'm
has your back.
Trying desperately. Doing everything I can.
That's another session.
Playing all my tricks. So what was did you always just have amazing taste in music like you do now?
No. I listened to and it was, as we discussed, I grew up with Chicago radio and WLS AM. Put a little bit of everything together. So you'd hear Donna Summer and you'd hear Pink Floyd from the Wall as long as it was a hit.
Right.
And so it was not the diversity of radio that you have now. Rock wasn't splintered into 5 different directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and pop was pop and country was country, and that's basically what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, and I can only gauge by what the albums I purchased and the things I had the most interest in. You won't find any clunkers in my album collection.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that I liked Off the Wall from Michael Jackson. I don't know if that's considered crap, but I liked it.
I think I like that one better than Thriller.
Yeah,
I
do too.
I think.
It's his presentation of himself away from all of that, you know, his past and his childhood, him growing into himself.
Right.
But I don't know what that was. I remember exchanging albums. I got a Led Zeppelin album from my sister in a trade, and I don't know what the trade was, but you know, used to just plop down on the ground and take these big-ass speakers and stick them on each side of my head and blow my ears out listening to that stuff. So I don't know if I've ever had, you know, the best taste depends on what you like. But I don't know that I've ever had, you know, crappy taste in music.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's the people around you, too. You know, the people that you hang with and what they're listening to. And I got a lot of great stuff.
I've come to kind of sort of like classic country, like
I do too.
Some of this, like Porter Wagoner, and
love
it. But my big battle with that was my mom loved that sort of music. But then I started listening to Johnny Cash a little bit more. Okay. Yes. This is like real. This is real shit, right?
Yeah, I just you know, and there's so much that we listen to that has the roots right there in that stuff. So I love it. But you know, first concerts are telling too. When you're out on your own, you can go to first concert.
Here we go. Yeah. First concert on your own. Your decision.
Oh, on my own, my decision. Oh shit.
Okay, I'll go. You think?
Okay, I might be embarrassed to even say it.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to say. I'm gonna put two out there because I'm not sure chronologically how they occurred. They were both very close. Edgar Winter with Rick Derringer right around when Frankenstein was popular at St. John's Arena in Columbus, Ohio. And then this is the one I remember the most, so I'm going to say this is my first concert. Bad Company opened with JoJo Gunn was the middle, Jay Ferguson and JoJo Gunn, and then Black Oak Arkansas was the headliner.
Wow, Black Oak was the headliner.
At Hera Arena in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm going to say 70, well, Bad Company, that Black album came out in 74, 72, 74, and it was, obviously, they opened, so they hadn't been, but they were just, we're just like, okay, we don't want, I'm getting goosebumps again. We don't want these guys to stop. We don't care who's next.
Right.
And then
JoJo
Gunn came out, and Jay Ferguson got electrocuted by the microphone and started cussing and throwing across the stage.
Oh my God.
They only had one song that was worth a damn. But Jay Ferguson was, you know, Thunder
Where
Island
was
and
this?
All that stuff.
Hera
Arena in Dayton, Ohio.
I guarantee you, we
did a comedy show at Hera Arena.
It smells the exact same today that it smells.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
It smells like an old skating rink.
I'm sure it does.
Oh, yeah. I think that my first concert that I would like you, when you said first concert, I immediately go to. My dad bought me New Kid on the Block tickets.
And KOTB.
Yeah, kept me on. I mean, we were at Deer Creek.
And I took my daughter, too.
And you were there,
And we met Donnie Wahlberg. And I never forget it. My daughter was, I think, the last time she probably spoke to me. He comes up to us, and we got backstage and stuff like that. Our buddy Steve Girardi hooked me up with all that stuff. He's a good man. And he comes up to us, and he goes, starts to hug my daughter, and he goes, "You have to excuse me. I'm all sweaty. I've been riding my bike." And
that's good, chick.
It was so full. And she, you know, bless her, meeting people. She was like a little crushed, but it was nice. But he made the effort to be. It was okay.
Yeah. And you have to do things like that.
Yeah.
They're an iconic. I mean, they're part of history.
Well, when you're that age.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think I was 8 years old. Yeah. But I think the first concert I went to, my choice was David Allan Coe.
Oh,
the countryside. Well,
that's interesting.
Was that that was in Indiana? I've got a picture of him somewhere. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You want it?
There was. No. I've learned a lot since then. But he is. You can't deny that he is an amazing songwriter.
Sure. Absolutely.
But you know what? Now, if you see him, and I've been to a few shows since then and now, and I think I had to use a fake ID to get into that show now that I think about it, but kind of looks like George Clinton. He's got the full hair.
Multicolored braid.
Yeah, all of it. So, I don't think that was it. But I went through a big country phase.
That's diversity.
Yeah.
I think that's necessary.
You know, because there was a part of me, we were flipping through the channels and the Country Association music thing was on the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And they said,
yeah, what'd you think about that? What do you think about new country?
It's pop music.
It's not even.
Well, they said that Garth Brooks was going to perform or do something, and I got a little excited because I listened to country music when Garth Brooks was in his heyday, and he did last year he did a Thanksgiving evening or for the Friday after Thanksgiving he did his little like one man live where he sings a couple songs, does a little bit of comedy, whatever. I still fucking love the guy. Love him. Love Garth Brooks.
Well, you know, you said shitty music and I forgot I was a hair band fan.
Oh. Yeah.
Does that count?
Okay, so, sure. Yeah,
well, I don't know.
I don't. It has its place. In
yeah,
the,
I think so.
The Dawkins. Progression.
Yeah.
Who?
And not Dawkins. Love Dawkins.
Okay.
Yeah, just Great White I liked a
little
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh, Great
yeah.
White. Yeah.
Didn't like some of the cheesier, sure. You know, I didn't like the glam. But
right, yeah.
I figured back then in the 80s you could go one of two paths. You can either go that way if you want to stay with rock, or you could go the other way, which was just an annoying poppy sound. I guess there was the whole punk thing that I missed.
Yeah.
I grabbed that late. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so.
Springsteen? Ever been a Springsteen fan?
Yeah.
I'm lukewarm as well.
Yeah,
little.
You know, the thing is, I like.
Born to Run, you can't touch. I think it's a perfect song.
I agree.
But.
I agree with that. And I like some of his stuff. I Born in the USA killed it for me. So anything prior to Born in the USA, I'm okay with.
It was everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think
that's the problem.
Rock and roll had experienced anything like a pop song that would become so
popular.
But
he's the guy,
selling album of 84.
Right, yeah, but don't you feel like he is the guy who did the like he wrote that song for, like, he didn't write it because he was compelled. Like, this is my opinion.
You mean Born in the USA?
Yes, yeah. Born in the USA. He wasn't writing because he was compelled. He wrote it because
he needed a hit. Are you trying to say it might be a marketing tool?
What? I give you Toby Keith.
You're ruining the magic.
Okay, is what I'm saying. I know, yeah. No, but I'm just saying that's what people do now. Now you have these artists who write songs specifically for soldiers' wives, soldiers who are coming home, like all of that thing. I don't like it. I feel like you're taking advantage of your audience.
Well, Sarah Bareilles wrote a song called Love Song because the powers that be told her she needed to write a love song.
Yeah, and she did.
Oh, here you go. Write a love song.
I'm not going to write you another love song. It's exactly what she said.
And it became a good song for her.
I love that album. That's a good... She's
a very nice... You know, she came to the studio. She came to WTTS and she brought her keyboard.
Oh, yeah?
And she carried it upstairs.
Oh, my God.
And she wouldn't let anybody help. No, why would you do that? I'll do that. So just such a nice person.
KT Tunstall came in here and played one time, and that's when my office was in there, and I was just in awe. Like,
she got the foot pedal, the loop.
Oh, she did the whole thing while she was in here. It was amazing. It was very cool to watch.
Ingrid was here. She was in Michelson. She was
fantastic. Oh my gosh, she's going to be in Indy soon again.
Is she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's a show's coming to Bloomington.
Oh, I think it is. I think you're right. Is it at Birdie's?
No,
it's Bluebird. Sorry,
yeah,
Bluebird.
What do you say? They're both birds.
Yes,
I get that.
One thing you don't know, Laura, but our regular podcast listeners, Jess has an amazing ability, almost hysterical ability, from a comedic standpoint, to confuse things. Like her famous one is she gets James Cameron and the director and. Who do you get confused with, James Cameron?
James Cameron and Cameron Crowe.
Cameron Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
She gets those two confused.
And
that's almost explainable. But there's others.
There's Betty Ford and the Prime Minister
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher. They kind of look alike.
Same,
that's what I'm saying. But if there's like
I had the first one. I'm still just trying to figure.
Maybe
out.
Maybe we should do that. This would be like a third degree. Like
that's funny.
This would be like that.
Just speak.
Yeah.
Here's what we'll call it.
Yeah, but there's the Bluebird I think of is Bluebird Fried Chicken.
We call that chicken, though.
It's just called chicken.
Yeah, and so it's the Bluebird.
It is, the Bluebird. So,
but then there's the birdies.
The same
Oh, no. Well, I
you
speak
just
fluent.
Have different bodies,
I
but you're
speak
the same.
Fluent, Jess. Yeah.
That's
I was so just funny. I was listening to my favorite Counting Crows song the day, Anna Begins, and it reminds me of you and. Everything she says is nonsense, but I understand every word.
Aww, yeah. Stop.
Okay. Anyway,
they are getting ready. They are that was announced recently is that they're part of the Rock the Reed.
I love Counting Crows.
I love
it's
them.
December 12th. It's sold out. Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah.
Is it at the?
It's at the Old National Center.
What the hell is the name?
Old National Center.
Old National Center. It makes it sound like.
Yeah.
The Old National Bank.
We were talking about that last night too, before the show, and I blew everybody's mind when I said Adam's hair isn't real.
No, it's not. Have you seen pictures?
Yeah, that's what. And they were like, "No, that's not." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, of course it's a wig." And he's open about it. It's not like it's a big deal.
You know, I feel really bad. I did something really bad. I met him in 2003, and I had listeners, and I was taking them back.
Yeah,
I don't know why I was the promotions person, but that night I was the promotions person, and so I walked up to Adam and I said, "Man, aren't you sick of being on the road? Don't you just want to go home and be by yourself?" And he goes, "Yes, I am so sick of being here and meeting everybody." You got a whole lot of people that are I can't wait to meet Adam. And I blew it for everybody. It was horrible. I didn't even think about what I was saying.
Who did he date? Didn't he date Jennifer?
Courtney Cox.
Was it?
He did?
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Wait, again, we're
wasn't
we're just,
Jennifer Aniston?
No, it wasn't Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston was dating, I don't know.
It was a friend, but it was a friend.
It was Brad Pitt, right?
No, Jennifer Aniston was actually dating a guy who was, he was her boyfriend on that. It was like a Ted or a Tatum.
Oh, I know who you're
Tatum.
Talking about, the blonde-haired guy. Tatum O'Neal?
No.
That's a woman.
But I think his last name was Tatum.
It's the only Tatum I know. Are you looking it up? Is that internet again?
Wow. She's looking it up.
You know, the other day I tried something.
What did you try?
You know, the Foo Fighters had the show at the Ryman, and it's a 2,300-person venue.
Every time I look at your Instagram, you're in New York City, in Nashville.
Yeah, you travel a lot, girlfriend.
Well, it's,
Is it for the job, or are you just fun? And
for the job, and I'm fun.
And you're fun? Okay.
The job makes me fun.
Okay.
No, I'm also a music director, so it's in my job description.
I didn't know you were, I guess I did know that. I did know that.
That I have to go to shows, I have to listen to music, I have to maintain relationships, and so all of that stuff goes along with it.
See, I don't get the feeling that other radio stations or radio stations that are on the air have what someone would call a music director who enjoys music and actually makes
rare.
A choice, a human being making a choice in what kind of music, other than a corporation choosing the records and the human elements not in it anywhere.
That's the, you know, what I do every week is I take phone calls from the record companies. They and I find these songs on my own, but they have some songs they'd want me to listen to. And I listen to so much music every week. And then I whittle it down and I take it into Brad. And I, you know, discuss with him what we should do. And there are some arguments sometimes, and sometimes we agree. But I do my research and I bring it in there and we decide together what we want to play, what we need to play, what we think that listeners would want to hear. And there's nobody that tells us anything else. And the company knows that relationships are important, so that's why you see me in New York and that's why you see me places. We won't accept someone saying, hey, let me fly you to New York. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Our company sends me. So it's all in the up and up. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't feel the pressure. But the fact
incredible.
That I get to listen to the music.
That
and,
doesn't, that, I,
it's
what?
A great
I
didn't know company. That existed. Yeah, I didn't know that
I'm
existed.
I'm flabbergasted that, and it's obviously, you know, the Bob and Tom Show's conversation. But we play music, we're doing a Bob Seger thing or whatever. I mean, that's what, but I don't know how the music is picked here. I don't, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, sometimes.
I do.
I guess it's. No, I mean,
I won't say anything.
I'm trying not to, you know, I mean, it's a giant corporation, obviously, and it's like McDonald's, and only it's music.
And they do a great service for the people that love classic rock. They love this station.
Yeah,
it's heritage.
I mean, that when I was a kid, I listened to WNCI in Columbus, and that's because I connected with that radio station and the music they were playing and the people that were on the air. But I don't know if that.
Well, it's a whole thing about ratings, and it's a long, boring thing.
And
but
I'm
that's
fully
what
aware that the Bob and Tom Show is syndicated in many markets. I know that, and yes. I love it, and I'm thankful for all of our listeners. But that local connection,
it's
know.
Important.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, it really is. You need to know who you're talking to. You need to know what they like. Or, and we reach out and we ask them.
Or trick them into thinking that we're there. I mean, either way.
Sure, that's
right?
it. I don't even think people – you think that some people believe that? I mean, I think that there are some people that actually believe
we've
that.
We've had people in Wichita, Kansas bring...
You are in Wichita.
Oh, that they're in there. Oh, yeah.
Bring donuts to the station and wanted to say hi to Bob and Tom and give them donuts. And they have to. I got an email today from a guy who lived in Salt Lake City and something... listened to us for years, thought we were in Salt Lake City, and something went wrong in Salt Lake City and heard Christy do the weather for Indianapolis, and he thought, what the heck? They're not.
but he sent me the Santa Claus.
Yeah. He sent me the nicest letter, and he lives in Indianapolis now, and then wants to hang out. And of course, that's not going to happen. But,
there are limits. No,
let's not blur the line between. But
That's why I've had.
I'm worried about the future of radio, Laura.
Well, we're going to get it back, and I'll tell you, I people say that all the time, and I'm a huge fan of the medium. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give up hope on the medium because of where I work. I understand, and I have friends that work at radio stations that don't have that experience.
Right.
But in AAA, which is Adult Album Alternative, whatever the hell that means,
right.
There's so much music coming because they hit us from all sides with all different genres because we bounce around, that you have to have somebody that's there and has discriminating tastes. You have to, I think, to be successful. They do it without having that person there sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They may be successful. But to me, the reason I got into this business, I fell into it, first of all. But it's a passion for not only what I like, but for feeling like you're reaching out and touching someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that we've lost that along the way somewhere. And I've had offers from a lot of places to go and work for them. But I really, it just can't match what I'm doing.
I see pictures of where you live in the morning.
It's a beautiful place.
You got like 60, 70 acres out there.
That's it.
There's live animals and
I have
deer,
a house for the help.
Deer yes. comes out and they, you got a good thing going
yeah,
down there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It reminds me, though, in sports of, the instant replay. They are taking
Chick.
The human element out of
mm-hmm. right.
what we're doing. And mm-hmm. and sometimes they can pull it off, but sometimes it sounds like a robot, an antiseptic and, mm-hmm. and clinical. And
what do you think the answer is? What's the answer? It's all because of the new rating system. That's what's going on. And, fewer people own more radio stations.
I think that's what's going on.
Radio stations.
The 7 thing went away or whatever the hell that was.
I think it's actually these big corporations that own radio right now are going to be like, we don't really want to do radio anymore. We're going to do other things. Like radio on your phone.
Well, you know what they need to do is start selling off properties.
That's what I'm saying. I really think that radio is going to become independent again. Everything that's vintage is cool right now, and I think radio is going to make that jump too.
Well,
it's going
to
be
what's happening with the music business. I mean, it's no longer cool to have a major label.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it on your own. Get
your own
independent label.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And with certain aspects of the radio business, it's much easier to deal with those people
mm-hmm.
On that level,
mm-hmm.
and they can do it. They can make themselves whatever they want
mm-hmm.
in that arena of independence. I just like it.
I don't know, what are we going to do if there's no radio?
I think we should buy the building off of Post and Rawls and turn that old radio station into that. It's funny, the
WISHFM,
is that what it is?
I
don't know, I drive by it, it's on my side of town all the time, but it's funny making that connection to the radio station you listened to growing up, and mine was, and I'm so embarrassed to say it, but mine was 99.5 WZPL. And
now, who was doing? Did it matter who was doing mornings, or you just listened for the music?
No, I didn't listen to. No, it wasn't Apple then. It was like I think that my dad still has the T-shirt with the big W, and then the mm-hmm. And I really don't remember who it was. I think it was a guy because I listened to the Hot 9 at 9. I didn't listen to radio in the morning. I listened to the Hot 9 at 9, and I recorded it. And that was, I on a tape player, and that's what I listened to was those same 9 songs until the next night when I would hear if there was a new Hot 9 at 9.
But if you didn't have that experience, then you wouldn't know where you are now.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But it just bums me out kind of like I don't.
But is it a bad thing? And
it does because
I think
with kids, it's a bad thing.
Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah, that bums me out. Like if we're in the car, you don't get to listen to anything but radio.
You punch in a Ryan Adams song and it's like 35 other recommendations, mm-hmm. or if you like Ryan Adams, you'll like this. And
I like going to my friend's basement and hanging out and her playing a song, or even like her parents had an old jukebox, and I learned a lot about unshitty music on that jukebox.
Let's go non-shitty music.
I like unshitty.
Okay. I'm using that for the rest of my life.
Unshitty. This is very unshitty.
My new word. I'll give you credit every time.
Thank you.
Unshitty.
No, so yeah, but I don't feel like my kids will ever have that experience of exchanging music. How many times, I take that back actually, how many times my son has introduced Journey to some of his friends who have come over and spent mm-hmm. the night?
Well,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, Max still, when he uses records and CDs interchangeably when he's speaking, and I'm like, those are two very different things. No, they're not. Okay.
See, I think that's what it's like. When I'm on the air, I feel like, and this is going to sound so cheesy, I feel like we're all in a room together listening to music.
Yeah.
Like turning each other on to music.
Right.
And some days I you know, I'm wearing my sweats and some days I'm wearing a gown, but that's what I think it's supposed to be like. And if you don't feel it, then get out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people that don't feel it that do the robotic thing that ruin it.
I can remember plainly when we had a color system and there was a color wheel and you played this color at five after and this color at
blue. Yeah.
But people were picking an actual human being, in this case me, was picking the music, and that was the clock that you the format clock that you followed. And I would get excited because that's what I always wanted. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to be on the Bob and Tom show and react to stuff that happens in the room and I have no idea what I'm doing, but people seem to like it, and I'm thankful for it. That's that's all true, but my intention was to sit in a room by myself and play music and hope other people listen. It wasn't,
and they would see you would be so fantastic.
I would love
because of your passion for music and your ability to express that.
I get some of
my
favorite.
You think they'd let you come do a guest set on TTS a Sunday night or something? Just host for 4 hours.
Sadly, I didn't mention that. I have some pages of something called a contract. What was I going to say? I got off on that.
How about I go down there and do it, and then you just sit back there and you tell me what
there
to
you
play
go.
To say.
That would be all right.
Yeah.
Right.
We can finagle that.
Yeah.
No, my favorite tweets are to be honest, and I get a little static for it because we don't care what you're listening to in your car right now. You know, but it's the
easy thing
to tweet because I'll take a picture of this, and then you just hit the last picture taken and you tweet it. You don't have to type. And I'm technically texting and driving, and I'm very careful. Plus, it's 5 in the morning. Leave me alone. So, but I love, and people will go, yeah, that's my favorite song. And I
connects
to
what it is.
Yeah.
I
you don't know. You have a lot of power to influence people.
Oh, for sure.
You have it on all levels. But even
the Bob
with your
Schneider
music,
thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many people how many people have we or you turned on to Bob Schneider just from Mudhouse?
I like Bob.
Everybody knows that you do.
Yeah.
Like and Bob. People that love you also love Bob Schneider now.
Yeah.
I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We once sat in a room and talked about who we hated musically.
Oh, let's do that.
I don't even know.
Yeah, let's do that.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
Try.
No, well, getting back to not wanting to meet your heroes specifically your musical heroes, when we had Bob Schneider the first time on the podcast, I told him the reason that I started liking, and it's not the reason I started liking, but a reason it made me examine his more expansive catalog. Was Steve Poltz was in here one morning, and I'm talking to Steve, and I love Steve and the Rock Burns and Dick's Automotive and the whole deal, and Eddie Vedder and all that stuff. And I said, you ever work with Ryan Adams? You ever hang out with him? And he got this funny look on his face, and he went, yeah, he's okay. He's kind of cool. And he goes, you know who you should check out is Bob Schneider. He lives in Austin, and he's just a great singer-songwriter. And if you like, you know, Ryan Adams, he's... Bob's a good dude. And so, sure enough, I started and I found, you know, Losing You and the songs sung in the room. And
he's hot.
Onion Field.
Jesus, is he hot.
And Pete Yorn, too.
I love Pete Yorn. Shotgun and all that. And yeah, and that's how that all happened. And I get, and by the way, if you'd like to help Bob, he's releasing an album in April called King Kong, and he's doing... I don't want to say fundraiser. I want to say that people can get involved, and you go to Bob Schneider Music, and you get hooked up with that. I think they're like 50% of their goal or something like that. So
well, that's awesome. That will come to me. I'm sure the album will come.
Yeah, yeah. King Kong. Yeah. It's going to be great. So,
yeah.
Music, right?
Music.
Do you ever want to do that? I mean, what happens when this gets over?
Play or sing? Oh, what happens when this gets over?
Yeah,
No, I'm not joking. You know when I'm joking. There would be nothing I would like better. Then
what do you want to do?
Then go south, get a farmhouse, and
he's been saying that forever.
You don't even have to do that.
And just hang out.
If you're talking with us, because we have studios here in Indianapolis. We have studios in Indianapolis.
See,
and
don't know what's happening.
And I don't know if you know, but I know the person that runs this podcast, and I think that you could arrange something in your contract that you would be able to.
Well, have you ever been to Sun King Studio 92?
You know what? I haven't. Brad and I had talked a lot about that. He said, you've got to come down. And I mean, obviously, I can't. Well, no,
noon?
I can't think of why I can't.
It's at
come.
Noon? No. Is it at Sun King?
No, it's at our performance studio downtown.
Oh!
We have sales offices, promotions offices. We can do our show from downtown.
Is this some way of getting us to buy time on your radio station? for the podcast. Is that what's happening?
That's a great idea.
I'm telling you.
Come on down to the office and sign these papers, and the next thing you know.
We have some beer. Sun King brings
the brew.
Well,
no, a lot
of
obviously,
and then we hang out.
No. Because who's done it that I heard, and I thought, oh, I'd love to have seen that. Maybe it was Pete Yorn.
Pete Yorn was just there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pete Yorn and Ingrid and Sarah
and
Doobie Brothers and David Gray. And
David Gray.
Spoon was just there, and I love that.
David
that was
Gray,
a great
that
thing.
Song David Gray does. If for a moment I can see the, something in your eyes, I got to try.
I don't even know.
What's the name of that
song? I don't
know.
I love all the songs.
It's great.
It's the lyrics that I don't know. That's why I do lyrics.
But you know what? It's the most important time of the year. It's the most important time of the year because the TTS, my CD comes out that I get every Christmas.
Oh, you know what?
Are you sold out? You guys get sold out and then we're...
You guys need to come tonight.
What's tonight?
Well, it's a CD release party at the Rathskeller.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
At the Rathskeller. You need to go because the CDs officially go on sale tomorrow.
Laura, watch.
But you get to listen to them.
Watch this. I'm supposed to go watch Jeff Bodart do stand-up at
Pinheads.
Shut
up. I'm going to punch you in the head.
What does that mean? No, Jeff Bodart is a friend of mine.
Yes.
For the podcast, it's only a friend of mine. Off the podcast, it's a friend of both of ours, and he does stand-up. And and Pinheads is right by my house. That's why I was going to go
That's
see
That's perfect.
Him. So, but I mean, I had no idea. Why don't I know about this?
I don't know. It's at 6:30. The live music starts at 6:30.
6:30.
It's an after-work CD.
Is it sold out? Is it?
No.
You just fall by?
Just come on in.
Kind of hip like that.
Just walk in.
And I love the Rathskeller.
I do, too. Yeah, we're going to have Knox Hamilton, this band out of Little Rock, Arkansas, which we're playing, by the way, that they didn't have a label at the time. They were just like, we found them and thought, this is a really cool song.
Wow.
So we played it. But they're going to be there in Lead Wise and Scarletta, but just live music and playing the CD, and you can get the CD. And then it goes on sale tomorrow. But
And it's only $30 for an Uber downtown. I know that.
Really? I paid $45 for an Uber in New York City. $45.
Whoa!
5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was supposed to be in the East Village, and I was in Times Square, and
Ooh.
I had to Uber it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a lot. But anyway,
you've
come,
got,
Jess.
You've
come
kinda,
on down.
You kind of got my job that I want.
I'll be at Lego Fest.
Oh, you're going to Lego Fest.
I'll be at Lego
what
Fest.
What is that?
Lego Fest. I randomly won tickets through the Indianapolis Indians to be VIP guests at
Lego
Fest.
It's a huge deal.
It's like, my kids are really into Legos.
That's so awesome because I love that. I don't have the patience for it, but I love watching people with patience.
Oh, yeah.
You don't play with Legos.
No, that's what there was a kid, that's a famous story of my son. He was, when he was little, some kid goes, hey, you want to go upstairs in your room, play Legos? And Max, I don't play Legos. I build Legos.
It's serious,
yeah,
man.
Very serious.
Got
very
serious real quick.
So, but my dad said, my dad works at Lucas Oil, the convention center, and he said that there's just a mass. Like, they dump trucked Lego bricks, and it's just a huge mound in the middle of IHOL right now.
No way.
Yeah.
See, I miss that. My son's 24, so I miss all.
Yeah.
I don't have that anymore.
Max is going to plot when he sees that.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. It's exciting.
The CD, we'll make sure that you guys have CDs.
Where is it this year? Like, where can you get it?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. Cons, Fine Wines and Spirits, Jocko, Upper Crest Pizza, Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's...
It used to be a Ford dealership for
Giacomo.
It used to be Tom Wood for a long time.
This is all synergy. I love Giacomo. I'm in Giacomo's Hall of Fame. I retweeted something from them, and they just love me. I found Giacomo's pizza on my own, I think.
Did you really?
No, he didn't. Anything cool that he's associated with. Yes. Anything cool that he knows about.
This is pretty much a rule of thumb. Anything cool I say or hear or listen or enjoy, she introduced me to.
That's
pretty
true.
Much the law. Yeah, that's true.
Happiness, that was me. I introduced him to that, too.
Okay, you guys, I have to get that. Hold on one second. I mean, you can talk.
Well, that doesn't mean I can't come down to the Rathskeller.
Of course you can go.
Is Holtzy going to be there?
Yes, he will be.
That son of a gun. He owes me $20. I know he does.
Oh, how can I forget Sun King Brewing? Of course.
Of course, Sun King Brewing.
That's the other one.
The Growler. Yeah.
That's the most awesome
We love
brew.
Sun King.
Mm-hmm. Well, come tonight, if you can.
At the Rathskeller.
It's early.
It's going to be cold, though. Is it outside?
No, it's inside. No. You know, when you go in down the stairs to the right, that's where it is.
No. That, see, that's the thing about him. If he's only been there in the summertime,
see,
he's that's the only thing he assumes, that it just closes in the winter because he's never been there.
One of my favorite one of my favorite comedic characters is Phil Hartman's on Saturday Night Live, the unfrozen caveman lawyer. Because he reminds me of me. He's, I don't know anything. I'm the unfrozen caveman. I've been fry. So when you say Rathskeller, we see
summer.
Bob Schneider there every year.
Yep.
And I'm out with the picnic
Polka
tables
Boy.
And Polka Boy. Mm-hmm. And
that's the greatest place.
Oh,
the
it's
outdoor
really,
place. You see the skyline at night. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
But there is an inside part to that.
There
and,
is.
There'll be lots of music lovers there if you feel the urge. If not, that's
you
cool,
should.
Too. I get that.
Well,
right
I've
by
seen,
your house, that's
I've
comforting.
I've seen Boat Arts Act, though. But my main concern is the lady dogs. I don't want them to be in their crates too long.
Oh, would you stop it?
Well...
You get to go home. You get to go. You have time to go home, nap, get a shower, vacuum something, because that's what you do.
That's what Brad does for comfort. Does he vacuum? Uh-huh.
What a lovely time you ladies are having. Oh, this is delightful. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Brad, I was having a rough night, so I went home and vacumed.
Uh-huh. That's so true. That's what breaks.
I go bananas. Uh-huh. I clean like a
yes. And iron.
I iron.
I have one somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's in the dryer. In the oven. Amy, my friend this morning, I said, I rolled this up in my bag. It's a little wrinkled. She goes, well, I have an iron. And I went,
no.
I'll wear it wrinkled.
No.
An iron.
There's yeah,
no
when they did the Downy wrinkle release spray when I was in college,
best
it was game over.
Best thing
I saw,
ever.
It wasn't even wrinkle release. It was laundry.
Yep.
It was like, oh, I'll spray this. I mean, there were times where I just dumped it out and then shook it in the laundry basket. And I was like, done.
Am I the only one that does this? Because when I tell people this, they act amazed and at least intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I refer to my housework as action news housework because I do it as it happens. Like if I have a dish, I wash it, I do
that's
laundry.
Wise.
I am constantly doing laundry because I'll do like five or six things.
No, that's
you
true.
You are an ideal person, actually.
But I'm wasting water, obviously. I mean,
no,
Oh, so you mean like you'll wear something and then put one article of clothing in the wash?
No, he'll have four.
Not
or five
all the
things
time, but
time.
I've washed. Like I fully anticipate the underwear and the T-shirt that I'm wearing right now going into the laundry here in a couple of days. But
you know what? But when I live alone, I will do the exact same thing.
I mean, I vacuum every day. But I've got two dogs, and one particularly hairy.
Mm-hmm. Hairy little dog.
Little lady dog. Yes. And I vacuum every day, and I still can't keep up with
it. I always leave everything, and I always wait for the housekeeper to do it. Is that...
No, I would prefer
that. But I don't
that.
Have a housekeeper,
oh,
so
no,
it's
there's
just
no
like
housekeeper.
There.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh,
gotcha. So does your husband do it?
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
My husband's really good about that stuff. Yes, yeah. He'll make dinner because I come home late.
Right.
He's really good about that.
Well,
much better than I am.
It sounds like you're...
I'm more of a bachelor guy.
Yeah.
Not that messy.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a bachelor guy
Yeah, for sure.
You know. Since for so many years I took care of my son and my husband, and that was all good. I was really, good about that. But then when he left, if I don't want to go to the grocery store, then I just don't.
Yeah, then
right.
If I don't want to do something,
I just don't.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, necessary. I can't. I mean, I can wait for that. I don't want to say that I'm not wishing time away or anything, but there are days... where I look forward to that time in my life.
Mm-hmm. He's out of the country, so
he
don't
is?
Look too forward to it. That's all right.
What's he doing?
He's in grad school in Germany.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What's the...
Well, a couple of weeks ago, he changed and said he wanted to be a pilot, so we'll start all over.
Oh, wow. And before that?
He went to Notre Dame and graduated, and he was in grad school doing, I don't know what they call it. It's where you research different geographical locations for companies that want to open business, and you tell them what the habits are of the people that live there so that they know if they should open or not.
If that's what it's
human
called.
Human geography is what it's called in Germany. Yeah. So.
Wow.
I get the feeling
that's
that
awesome.
your emotional outlook and your brain is a lot more advanced than mine. Don't you think?
Why do you say that?
I find this with all of our guests.
No, that's the thing. No, here's the thing.
No, but what you're saying and
I'm not. This is going to sound terrible. This is going to sound terrible.
Oh, I can take it.
I can always cut this.
But there's when Chick, Laura. I don't know if you know this, but you are Chick's new friend. Because when What's he happening? Finds someone...
I was going to ask you if you could introduce me to Chick, but now
Sure. I think you'll behave. I think we can do an introduction. But he gets so excited when he is around someone who is educated and polite and funny and can carry on a conversation. So he is, and that's true.
I'm sorry that you got me.
No, that's true. Because he tends to be a terrible judge of character.
Are you?
And he brings shit people into his life.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
And so, still do that, even though she's telling you and you're agreeing and you know, you still do that?
I try not to do that, and when that happens, I try to overlook it now, and I try to, well, this is just, we're get past this, and it'll be a different...
No, but there are, but there are, we're working on, he always had this joke that you were going to have, it was like the Rainbow Coalition barbecue with all
like
of your friends.
Yeah, like a lesbian friend, a gay friend, a black friend, an Asian friend.
Yeah, he was going to do that.
Yeah, the Rainbow Barbecue.
Yeah, instead, what we're going to do...
It's not going
to
happen.
No, instead, we're just going to have the wonderful, great new friends, grown-up adult friends... of Chick McGee barbecue instead.
That would be nice.
That would be fun.
And we would have a, we could, well, we were talking about doing a podcast. Well, we always talk about this. And
we talk about
our
a lot
joke
of things.
Behind the scenes is, wow, I cannot wait for that not to happen.
No, that's not our joke. That's Jason's joke. Yeah.
Hey, my joke is I'm exactly like that, only the exact opposite.
You did,
that's my
you
joke.
You did. That's a good
that.
Joke. That is a good joke. Yeah.
No, so people say, wow, Laura, you sound just like yourself.
yeah, that's right.
Thanks.
I don't think
thanks.
Thank you.
Where was I? Say? I was at Steve Girardi's party. You were and
yes,
some...
I never can make that because I host football parties at my house.
Oh, there you go. No, so this Amy, who's a friend of yours, I guess, who told me that she had met me at this party, and I hadn't remembered it, but I don't think it was her, but it might have been when she goes, "Oh, now that I hear you're talking, I can tell it's you." I'm like you have
people impersonating you, like people pretending to be you.
But then
the
she
city?
Follows it up with, you know, your voice is a little different now than it is on the radio.
Uh-huh. It is.
I'm like, I don't. Is it okay?
No.
I'm trying to be. My new goal for 15 is I'm no more whining, because when I get emotional or upset or really concerned about something,
his voice goes up like 10 octaves. It's insane.
Goes, what do you mean? I don't stop. What are you trying to tell? Yeah, that's not that is not a caricature. That is dead on.
I haven't heard that.
So no, instead, I'm trying to go.
I'm the one that is.
Here's the thing. Yeah. We should probably take a break and think about what we're saying, and we'll revisit this, put a pin in it, and we'll be right back. Stuff like that. That's what I'm trying to do.
He had a meeting
the
other day.
That's just such a wonderful voice. And a wonderful
it is a good voice. And that's what I was like, why would you
come to you for my therapy session?
My voice doesn't have any. Is that my phone?
Yep, sure is. That's the ring.
Oh, well, that's. Oh, that's. Okay.
Good job.
Which professional broadcaster in the room left their phone on, mother? Mm-hmm. That was me. What was I saying? I forget now.
Talk about your voice.
Your voice. And
oh, my emotional. Voice. My voice, to me, it's
everybody's like that, though.
It's pleasant. Mm-hmm. But I think you have an pleasant. Incredible voice. I think Jenny DeVoe has a very interesting, so full of character voice. I think my voice could be confused with...
No, that's not true.
Anybody.
It is for you because you hear yourself.
Because
all the
I've
time.
Always wanted to do booth announcer work in the TV stations, and I'm
Why
getting
not?
Nothing.
Why not?
You know, tonight on RTV6, it's
Doobie.
But you know what? I think that
they
at this
not
point,
take it seriously,
exactly.
Right?
At this point, your voice
too,
is very
it's too well
yeah.
Known.
It is well known. But that's even when I
there's
hear
trouble
you do,
at Lafayette Square Mall.
When I hear you
tonight
do,
at 6,
of course there's trouble at Lafayette.
Of
Square
course
Mall.
There is.
No. I think that, because when I hear you do the Jeff Chapman commercials, when you do the Chapman Heating and Air commercials, and you're being professional, I'm like, damn, he's good at this.
See, that's
No, I can't. I can do it. Like, I could go into another city where we don't have our show, maybe, and try to
Right.
Well, that's you like, could. Yeah. But it's a difficult Normal. Thing. I do voice work.
Yeah.
Voiceovers for people. But the some of it is stuff you really don't want to do.
Oh,
like, I'm for a medical company. I say... And then we've discovered that our line of thinking is not the way it should be, because the FDA is telling us we need to recall. So here's what you do. You take part A, you put it into part B. Did you hear that? Part A into part B.
Oh my gosh.
What you do for like 3 minutes, and you explain it, and you're the voice behind a video.
Right.
I do voice work for an energy company.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start doing all that stuff, it's like, okay, now I'm just, it's totally using my voice. There's no real passion. You know?
But with the two of you, like how quickly, like we've been in a conversation obviously for the last hour, but when you started to do that, that's a different voice. Like I hear the change. So you guys practice that. I mean that's a skill, because there is no way I can make this prepubescent with a cold little boy voice ever sound professional.
No, that's full of character and fun, and you can see you smiling and
That's it. You can hear your smile.
Right. Well,
that's great.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's no way that I could say take part A and stick
well,
it
you
in.
Need to drink whiskey. a long history of whiskey and cigarettes.
Say,
Anybody can do it. It's all done now. Yeah. But it, you know.
Tab A into slot B.
right.
And then you have listeners say, you know, I work there and I thought they had a video and that was you. And I made a bet with somebody. And is it? And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah. For sure. Well, you got. What about like books on tape? Have you guys? Would you ever do any of that?
I guess that's exhausting. Gaffigan was telling me about. Bad. He did. It's like seven.
Bert Kreischer was telling us about
Bert
it too.
Bert was saying too that it was just crushing. Like you're in.
And
a
you
studio
wrote the
for,
book, and then you have to read the book, and you're like, "Fuck! I wish I wouldn't have put that in the book." You know.
I did a documentary on Fritjof Schuon, who was a German philosopher. And it was for something they were going to use on PBS.
Yeah.
And it was 3 months of...
Oh, my gosh.
No, you have to pronounce... I mean, it was all... Oh. It was German language stuff and places.
Oh, my goodness.
It was bad. It was not fun.
Ugh.
It was not. So, yeah, the radio thing, yeah. The voiceover thing. Hey.
Okay, give us the, other than the band you mentioned, Tonight at the Rathskeller, do you have anybody that you think people should listen to right away?
I love... Hosier. Have you heard of Hosier?
Yes. I just screenshot the
Hosier,
the new single, and sent it to him.
It is unique sounding.
I think it'll get me, I like it. Yeah, I'll have to get used to it.
It's a self-titled debut release. He had a couple of EPs that he put together, and now we have this full album.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw him on his first entry into the United States. He played at Sirius XM. And I was invited to New York City to meet him and watch that performance, mm-hmm. and then clear out basically a room somewhere in New York so that he could play for us. Mm-hmm. And here he is. He's 24, born on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
He has held U2 out of the number one spot. They're the biggest band in Ireland. He's held them out with Take Me to Church. But it's a beautiful, beautiful album.
Yeah.
Hosier, George Ezra, is another singer-songwriter. Okay. 21, from Hertford, England.
Ooh, okay.
Song that we were playing called Budapest. But the entire album is just really fantastic. He looks like a baby's butt.
Yeah.
But he's like 55 in vocal presentation.
Right.
Yeah.
He looks like a baby's butt.
He's just like, you know, that smooth, new thing, cute little Opie Taylor type face. Yeah.
Really?
Really, really, really great. So those are the things. I mean, I also host a show called Indie Underground, where it's all independent music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a Monday night. So my brain gets a little fried going all over the place, trying to get the more mainstream stuff for TTS proper and then for the show. But I like a song called Gooey.
Okay.
I've seen.
You've probably seen that.
Gooey.
It's a really great song. It's Glass Animals. Or am I confusing two?
Gooey. Glass Animals.
I feel like I have that on my Shazam now people. That you said that.
Gooey.
We're all writing down gooey.
Oh, it says gay. No, gooey.
Glass Animals, you're correct.
Glass Animals.
It's a great song. And Cage the Elephant, I'm a huge fan of.
Oh, I love Cage the Elephant. Mm-hmm.
Melophobia, which is the fear of music, is the title of their album.
Oh, that's funny.
And
I like them already.
When you're old... When you're at Bonnaroo, and I'm side stage watching the band, okay, and the two brothers are on stage, and up walks this man, nice looking man with a ponytail, and it's maybe having a scotch and saying, "How you doing?" It's the dad. He's my age.
Oh my goodness!
The dad of the band, and I'm like, "Oh, geez," but really great guys, and the album is just incredible. I mean, it gives you a little bit of everything. So, and that's what I like.
I like the Cage the Elephant album with the. It was a multicolored. It was a face.
It was the one.
One thing or another. Or one thing leads. No, that's. the fix. But
I want to see. I got to see the. I have to see the.
That's a great band.
Cage the Elephant. Yeah, they're from Bowling Green.
Really?
And, yeah.
No kidding?
Yeah, they're from Bowling Green, that. Kentucky.
I thought they were really exotic, like...
They aren't.
You know, Detroit, something like that.
Well, but what are you, I mean, what are you listening to? What do you like that's new?
When you said that the name of their album is...
Self-titled, means, is that what you, that
That's one, that yeah. one right there, yeah. Self-titled, yeah, Cage the Elephant. When you said their title of their album is The Fear of Music. Or
Melophobia.
Melophobia. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that sealed the deal for me with Ryan Adams was his album Gold. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a football jersey on the front and mm-hmm. number 79. And I thought, that's got to mean something. And it's the atomic weight of gold. So I thought, okay,
see, I
this guy, this
see,
guy's
Chick
for
knows
me.
Way more than I do.
Yeah, I kind of like that. So something new. Let me think. I'm going back. There's a soul rhythm and blues band called The Relatives I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of rediscovered them. I don't know if they're doing anything new, but what is that, your chair?
That was my chair.
Stomach?
Yeah.
A guy who looks straight out of the 70s. And is that Chuck Jackson guy? Is he...
Chuck Jackson is, yeah.
Is he from then, or is he now and looking
to
be
Chuck,
from then?
No. Chuck Jackson, that's an old school. His claim to fame was the duet album he did with Sissy Houston.
And, Sissy Houston.
Yeah. Wow. See, I do. Here's a little fun fact about me.
All right.
When I was a kid, my mom was what I thought was a DJ. I mean, for that time frame, everybody called it a DJ. And I don't know, do you take that? Do you feel like that's a negative term anymore?
I don't really care.
No.
They call it on-air personality that's a little strong because I don't have much of one. But DJ, whatever, you know, it's fine.
But when I was a kid, my mom said DJ. Well, my mm-hmm. mom, my mom spun records in the booth on the dance floor at some bars.
That's a tough gig.
And yeah, locally, mm-hmm. yeah. And so in the late 80s, I would sit on a milk crate in the back of the bar in the kitchen and watch my mom through that little window.
That's really cool.
And I thought, you know, my mom's a fucking superstar. So, it was a place called The Hop, mm-hmm. Peppermint Twist, but they were oldies bars, Chevys. And so there were times where she would stop and she'd put on a wig and have like a little costume and she'd sing an Aretha Franklin, or she would lip sync an Aretha Franklin song or a Diana Ross song or something like that. And so the Big Chill album was huge mm-hmm. to me. Like that, I listened to that over and over and over
it's a great
again.
Soundtrack.
And this is when I was in this is first and second grade.
See, how cool are you? Big Chill soundtrack, first or second grade?
Oh, yeah. And so now it's just like when I hear that music from that time, that is what I mean, Thanksgiving morning, you will find me listening to that music, that time frame all morning as I cook. So,
you cook?
Oh,
she's a great cook.
I know you. I've seen you on Instagram and some of those things. Yep. I'm like, where's my invite? Oh, my God, that looks good. But you cook on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I do the whole
thing. Do you have
thing.
A whole family over? Do you
I
cook
do.
For the kids and,
I
and the
I
big family?
I cook and I host and I do. And I do not allow
God,
people.
You're crazy.
I know, and it's terrible, and it's such a jerk thing to do. But I don't let people bring... I don't. It's not a pitch-in. I am hosting dinner.
Yes, I've done that too. That's
and
a
I
tough thing, though.
It is a tough thing, but I don't want you to bring your crummy.
Yeah, it's gonna mess up my plans.
Casserole,
listen to
right?
Okay.
Like, cause I do the classics.
Calm down.
I do the classics. Like, I do green bean casserole, but I make my own cream of mushroom soup from scratch.
Look at you
yeah,
go!
Like, I have to. Like, this
Stop
has to
it.
Be.
Stop it! You're
the
making
whole
us all look bad.
Like, I have to, but I love doing it. I don't do it so that I get to say it. I do it a little bit so I can say mm-hmm. it. But I do it because I really love to cook. I just love doing that. And then I make cream of mushroom soup like 3 or 4 days, and that's what we eat leading up to. I consciously try to make these insane memories and traditions for my children that are just ridiculous.
No, that's so important. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. And so I don't know what they're going to remember and what's going to stick, because the other day, you know, it's like, hey, Max, when you go to college, what are you going to ask me to make? And he was like, macaroni and cheese. Well, I was like, oh. Okay.
See, that's the thing I don't get a chance to do, because my son, I always want, I can't even send him anything to Germany.
Right.
They open it up, take it out. I can't send him anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's a spy. You're making this whole thing up. That's what I think.
Well, you know, funny. The thing is, too, is you never know what they're going to remember. That's, it's interesting that you're on that side and I'm over here.
Right.
Yep. Because I know the damage I've done. He's told me. You did this and this and this, and that's what I remember.
I can't believe.
It's that I had a real huge lesson in that one time, and lucked out that I ended up being friends with her. But my son, we had an adult party, and my son was in kindergarten, and somebody was smoking a cigarette, and I said, "Let me take a puff of that cigarette." And my son saw me do it and went to school and told his class that his mother smoked, and I did not smoke. And so later on, I end up befriending this kindergarten teacher, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to sneak a cigarette after this?" And I was just, and we had gone to dinner together, and I was like, "No," and she was like, "Oh, well, your son told us that you smoked." And
yes,
I
understand.
No,
because
what? Say what?
I actually did smoke for a time,
yeah.
And I went to pick my son up from daycare,
yeah,
and they said, "So your son tells us you do drugs."
Oh. No.
And I said, "Really?" He did. Well, we told them cigarettes are drugs.
Oh.
Because I was sweating and like taking my purse and throwing it out the door.
Right.
Nope.
Oh, but that's the thing is, like, it's one of those itty bitty, and I'm sure that I have it too, something that I've grabbed onto that I haven't forgotten that my parents did,
yep.
And they probably
and
only did
it
one time.
No. Never,
yeah,
you never even know.
No, no. So
it's the little things that you don't even remember, mm-hmm. and it affects them. So.
Yeah, that'll be the fun part.
I was happy when my parents left me alone. So I could be in my room with my TV. And
well, I was there a lot grounded. I was one of six children, and I was middle, I guess, fourth from the top, third from the bottom. My brother is a priest, and then there's me.
Are you serious?
Moly.
Everybody in between. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I kind of didn't do well playing with the other children in my house.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of time in my room listening to music and, you know, meals being brought to the door.
Right.
Speaking of music, I forgot one of our favorites that we've been trying to get on the podcast. And
who's that?
Mike
this
Doty.
Is kind of sort of how we got
Mike Doty.
Bob Schneider on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We kept playing his songs, and then he, "What are you guys doing?" I go, "Well, we're playing your songs." Is that okay? So when Mike calls us to tell us to stop, we'll say, "Hey, you want to be on the podcast?" But he has a new album called Stellar Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And that's one of the new things I'm listening to. I've rediscovered Wu-Tang. I like them a lot. I know.
You should just be programming TTS because
I'm a bad man.
Mike Doty and Bob Schneider. And that's,
Alejandro Escovedo?
Yes.
Castanets?
Talented.
Castanets, mm-hmm. I like that.
Really talented.
All right. You want to hear Alejandro or Mike Doty? I'm going to play Mike Doty.
You do whatever you want.
You do you.
Laura Duncan, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
This
thanks for having me, guys.
Delightful.
So happy to meet both of you.
I was thinking delight. Nice to meet you. And I'm somehow going to be down there at least for a little bit tonight.
That'd be great.
Will
your husband be there?
No, he will not.
I'm going to have a growler. I'm going to talk to Holtze. And I got to go watch Bo Dirt.
Well, that's good.
You're a good friend.
And you won't be there, but you'll be Legoing.
I'll be Legoing.
I just turned that into a verb. How do you like that?
Yeah, I like it.
She'll be texting. "What are you doing now?" I wish
I was there.
What are you going to do? Okay, here's Mike Doty, my new favorite song off his new CD called Stellar Hotel. I think it'll play. There it is. Laura Duncan, 92.3 WTTS. Or is it 92.3 WTTS?
92.3 is fine.
92.3. Listen to her this afternoon and make it a habit. How about that?
There you go.
Why not? Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jess.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you for downloading the podcast. Tell everybody. We'll see you next time.
Suitcase on the fourth floor. Enormous balloons. Gold choker made out of spoons.